Welcome to the Fundamental Entrepreneur Podcast, where entrepreneurs come to be educated, enlightened, and empowered for success in their business pursuits. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Fundamental Entrepreneur Podcast. This is episode number 28, and I'm your host, Darren, and I'm joined today by Danielle. Hello, Danielle. How are you today?
Great, Darren. Glad to be here on another cold Saturday.
No kidding, right? You know, I just have before we get diving into this episode, I have to tell you, I was driving into my office where I'm recording this at today, and I was driving the snow. The roads are bad. The snow's out there, but I hit every light that I went through is green. And I'm like, this is going to be a good day. You know, if all the lights are lining up for me, it's going to be a good day.
There
and
then you
I got
go.
To the last light before my office, and it was red.
Still a good day.
Maybe that's going to tell us something about today. But
that just means that the twilight of your day is going to be an extra special. Just stop and enjoy it. Right?
There you go. I like the way you're looking at it.
Stars are aligning.
I like the way you're looking at it. But we're so glad that now that we're getting all the funniness out of the way, we're so glad you all join us today. We appreciate you being here for this episode. We actually have a special treat for you today. We're joined by a special guest. His name is Everyday Joe. And what we're doing with this little special guest is Everyday Joe is going to represent all of you that have questions. The everyday person, the everyday entrepreneur, the person, you know, everybody's got questions. And so we want to be able to provide a platform for you to ask those questions and get them answered. So Everyday Joe, welcome to our podcast today.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me. In America, I'm here to represent you. So when you have those questions, send them in and I will represent you and ask these questions to Darren and Danielle, and we'll get your questions answered for you.
Yeah, we're excited. So how that's going to work is we're going to set up an email. I believe it's going to be called everydayjoe@ascent101.com. And if you want to submit your questions, stuff that you would like us to answer on this podcast, just send it to that email. We'll put it in the episode show notes, so that we can get those questions and we can answer them on this podcast. So we're super excited. And today we've got some questions. We had questions come in related to information. So Everyday Joe, we're going to have you maybe kind of introduce this and what we're going to be talking about today, because it seems like a lot of times people, when they start out their business, they're not quite sure what information they can share. So let's dive into these questions.
All right, let's get going with this first question here. All right, so Jeremy from Washington asked, who is it okay to share my personal information with?
Well, Jeremy, that's an excellent question. You know, as a business owner, there is that element that oftentimes when you set up your business, you are required to share your personal information, especially when you're setting things up. That oftentimes the state will ask for that information. But I would say the places that you're going to more than likely share that with is obviously any banking institution, financial institution is going to be a place you're going to share that information with. Federal agencies more than likely will require you to share that information. Advisors, as you work with advisors, especially attorneys, accountants, insurance, those kind of things, they're going to require that information of you. And so just be ready. And generally, you know, that's name, address, possibly and probably social security number as the owner, and then maybe some other additional information. Danielle, any other thoughts as it relates to what information, who you would share your information with?
No, I mean, I think you nailed it. Yeah, I mean, you know, the banks, the governmental agencies that you have to set up your registration with, and
sorry. Danielle's got an extra special guest with her today. She's got her dog with her, and we're trying to keep the dog quiet so that there's no yapping. That's kind of fun, right? So right. Yeah, so just Jeremy, keep that in mind, is that you will be required to share that information, and so with those individuals and possibly others. Maybe vendors sometimes will require that. I would be a little skeptical of vendors that are asking or other places that are asking for date of birth, social security number, those kind of things. Be a little wary of those. And I would actually respond with, why do you need it? Why do you need this information?
Yeah. And yeah, never be afraid to ask, you know, ask the question of what they need the information for. You know, one thing, Darren, I thought of as you said that a lot of times, if you are working with a bank on a loan, they're going to ask for like what they would call a personal guarantee. And I wouldn't be afraid to, you know, ask the question, do you really need that? Or, you know, as Darren and I have talked about in the past, when we talk about when you create your operating documents for your company and how that you're going to run your company, you have to decide, you know, if that's going to be a policy that you actually give that personal guarantee to the bank, or if it's something that you as a company and an organization are not going to share or allow. So that's another thing that you're going to want to think about, because, you know, I don't know if it's, you know, we want to get into what that really is here, but that's basically you sharing, basically guaranteeing your personal financial basis for any loans. So it kind of eliminates that, what Darren and I have talked about, that personal liability protection as you do that. So that's another thing to think about as well as you're working with banks.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. So Jeremy, hopefully we've answered that question. A great question. What other questions do we have today, everyday Joe?
We got one coming from us from Amy from New Mexico, who asked, as a solo entrepreneur, am I pronouncing that right? Solo entrepreneur. How do I avoid sharing my social security number?
No, that's a good question. And was it Amy? Did I catch that right?
Yeah. Amy from New Mexico.
Okay. Amy, thank you so much for that question. It's a great question. How do I avoid sharing my social security number as a solo entrepreneur or a solopreneur? A great question. And so one thing, Danielle, we talk about this using an EIN, which is that number that you can file for at irs.gov and get that set up. That's one way of kind of making sure, because as a solopreneur, it's just you, right? And so generally, a lot of people, they don't file anything with the state. They don't go out and do anything with the state. And so they don't really register anything. And so they just use their social security numbers, everything. And so I know people can be a little leery of wanting to share that. So the EIN, Danielle, don't you think that's the best way to avoid having to do that?
Yeah. Just go register for an EIN and then use that instead of your social security number. And then your personal information is protected, because then you can share that with anybody and everybody. And yeah, you won't have to worry about sharing your social security number.
I think that's a great way to do that, is just get that EIN. There's an option that asks for what type of entity are you, and you would just select the sole proprietor option.
And you know, Darren, I was just registering an EIN for a client the other day. And I know, you know, in our business startup blueprint, we walk people through how to do that online. But I am happy to have discovered that they have completely redesigned their website, and it is so much easier to actually get that EIN now. It used to be that you had to do it in certain timeframes of the day, and it wasn't even available after hours. But now you can do it any hour of the day. If you're up at 2 a.m. working on your business, you can still register for that EIN, and they've made the process so much simpler. So we're gonna have to think about sharing that updated information with our audience.
Yes, no, that's a good point. And on that website, you will be required to share some personal information. Obviously, they wanna know who you are and what's going on there. And maybe this is, I don't know if we have a question related to sharing information on websites, everyday Joe, but if we do, I won't jump on toes of that person asking it. But one thing to keep in mind when you're sharing that information is, I've always been told, and I'm no security expert, so just take it for what I've been told, is when you do that, make sure that in the website URL up there, you've got that S at the end of HTTP, there's an S. And a lot of website browsers now have that little like lock symbol up there, and that shows that the website is secure. Always just double check that. Make sure that, you know, especially payment information, other things like that, that is definitely there. I've heard that that's the best way to, or one of the ways to ensure that what you're sharing on a website is being shared on a secure website browser, I guess, or web page, I guess I should say. So Great question, Amy. Let's jump. Any other questions there, Everyday Joe?
Yeah, I just have a follow-up question. You guys are talking about EIN number. Is it okay for anyone to know your EIN number? What is an EIN number? I have no clue what that is.
Danielle, what is an EIN number?
Love this question. Yes, all our acronyms and our secret language that we like to speak. An EIN number is your employee identification number. Think of it as your social security for your personal. This is your social security for your business. It's how the government identifies you as an individual entity.
Awesome.
Yeah, and to share that, you asked the question, is it okay for others to know that? And the answer is yeah, I mean, obviously, there's going to be reasons you're going to have to share that information. Again, professional advisors, you're going to have to share that with banks, other places. You know, if you're possibly vendors at that point may require you, if you know you're setting up an account with them or something, they want to, that's kind of how they, you know, identify you because it is unique to your business. And so that you probably will have to share it there. Obviously, I wouldn't say just be willy-nilly about it. Just be like, hey, everybody, here's my EIN. But I don't think, don't post it on your website. Don't put it out there for everybody to get a hold of, obviously. But just make sure that you're sharing it as you need to. It's not, I don't think it's a secret that you have to keep from anybody. One of the times you definitely will have to share it is if you're a service provider. Hopefully those people that you're providing services to are requesting you to provide what's called a W-9 form, which is a form you fill out to then say, hey, this is who I am. This is the entity type that I operate under. And that way, then they can determine on their side whether they need to be sending you what's called a 1099. Now it's a 1099 NEC. And so keep that in mind. You might get one of those forms in the mail and be like, what is this? A W-9 is for that purpose. So fill it out and return it to them. So that's a good question. That's a good follow-up question.
Hey, Darren, so I thought I'd just add to that real quick. You want to, make sure you're not sharing it with anybody and everybody, but it's good to know that it's actually a public record. So if you wanted to know anybody's EIN or if there's an entity, if you know of an entity that you're doing business with or you're researching or for some reason you want to know it, you can actually go do a search and actually find it within the state that they operate pretty easily. So, I mean, it's, I guess, just another way of saying, yeah, it's okay to share it because anybody can find it if they know how to find it.
Yeah, that's a good point. Good point. Great questions. All right. What's another question related to this topic?
Okay. So I got one more question here from Devin from PA who asks, how do I avoid sharing my personal information with the wrong people?
Oh, that's a good question. That's a rabbit hole that we're going to dive into, Devin. That's a great question. I think, in my world and Danielle's world, we obviously deal with people's personal information all the time. So I am very sensitive to information, and I take great pains to avoid sharing information with just anybody. Obviously, we're required, like as a CPA, I've got certain ethical standards and certain standards I've got to follow as far as sharing information. If somebody calls me up and says, hey, one of your clients is so-and-so and I need this information, the answer is no, I don't share it. And so I would almost kind of get into that best practice even yourself with other people's information. I know you asked specifically about sharing this info with the wrong sources and we'll touch on that. But like I said, it's a rabbit hole kind of scenario here. But I would definitely just always operate kind of in a framework of cautious. Be cautious of how you share that information. Emails, I get clients all the time, just email me stuff over email. Oh my gosh, sending full-on tax returns or personal information over email. And that, you have to understand that once you hit send on that email, it leaves that server and it travels the World Wide Web. You cannot control who may be able to access it. And so I would definitely say, do not share personal information via email ever. Unless you can encrypt the file. And even then, there's possibilities of breaking that encryption. And so I would say emails is one that do not share your information that in that regard, just because it's just silly. Another one, Danielle, is phone calls. How often does the IRS call or and ask for personal information?
Well, you know, Darren, I think at least once a week I get a phone call that says that my Social Security number has been compromised. And I just love those calls. It's like, really? Okay, so the government agencies, whether it's state, federal, whoever it is never going to call you personally. You will always, always receive correspondence and requests through the mail. Some states are starting to actually send stuff electronically, but very, very rarely. Most of the time you have to wait for the snail mail if you request information from them, or if they're needing information from you, it's always going to be through the mail.
Yeah. So I've actually had people say that the IRS did call them and what should I do? And I'm like, let's not be doing this. And then I actually follow up with a phone call to them. And then sure enough, they did. They had actually called, and it's a unique situation. And so, you know, I would say the likeliness is very unlikely that they're going to call, that they're going to request that information. And especially, and another, you know, government agencies in particular, unless you've maybe called in advance and said, hey, please call me back. Obviously, you're going to return the call. But I would say be very, 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 I don't know how many varies I can put on that to say, if you ever get a call saying, hey, this is whatever government agency, something's wrong, we need you to provide us some information to look up your account, I would take that call with some very skeptical hesitation and just be like, let me call you. Because think of it this way. If they already got all the information, they're looking at it, right? Why the heck do they need you to verify it? They've got it. They're looking at it. And that's the same even like with a financial institution. If you get a financial institution, a credit card, anybody calling, I would say anybody really that is calling and saying, hey, your account's been compromised or something's going on, we need to verify some personal information. Unless they want your shoe size and blood type, and the color of your eyes, I would be like, no, I'm not giving that out over the phone because you called me. Why are you calling me? Be very skeptical of those calls.
And not afraid to ask questions, right? Back to them.
Yeah. Don't let them bully you. I mean, that's the biggest thing. I get emails all the time from the places that I subscribe to get information, and they will say, oh, new schemes come up. So-and-so, you know, they're investigating people calling taxpayers or calling individuals and saying, and they're bullying them. Hey, you're going to go to prison and you need to pay right now. And you need to do this right now. Please don't fall for that stuff. That is just complete, utter nonsense. The IRS does not call, the governments do not call and do that kind of thing. And you should also, if they start saying you need to pay by gift card or whatever, what's the new one now? The Bitcoin or whatever. Just know that that's just a bunch of bull honky, and just follow it up on your own. Just hang up and follow up. I mean, it does cause you to be a little nervous. So just hang up and follow up on your own to make sure everything's okay. Another source, Danielle, I think we should bring up is the electronic scams that are out there and how being cautious with emails. How often do you, Danielle, get emails related to that contain links or from bad players? Seems like it's every day for me.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah, many times a day. And yeah, I think it's the same rule, I think, Darren, as you discussed. Just be really skeptical. If you haven't requested information from someone or you don't know the person individually, don't click on it. And a lot of times some of the scammers they'll actually send emails mimicking someone you do know. Right. And so, you know, one thing I always say is go up and actually look at the email. Like, there's always a name that comes on the email, and then that's what they're going to try and mimic, someone you know. But actually click on it and see what the actual email address is, because that is a telltale sign that it's always some crazy email that doesn't. I mean, it's an obvious indicator that it isn't a scam. So that's what I usually like to tell people. Just really look at the actual email address to know if it's something that is legitimate. And then if you're unsure, I would call or contact that person that you know and say, did you send me this? And just verify that way.
I agree. In fact, I will say I made a personal dumb one time where somebody sent an email and that happened to me. It looked like it was from somebody legit. And I'll always, you know, like you say, mimic something. And I wasn't even thinking, I just clicked on it. And fortunately, I have a software, Malwarebytes. I use them. And so that's one thing I would suggest is getting some software to protect you from this kind of stuff. And I'm not saying Malwarebytes is the only one. It's one, the one I use, that there's plenty out there. Go investigate which one works for you. Yeah, it's going to cost money, but it's going to be a lot cheaper than, you know, having to deal with ransomware or something else. And so it saved me. It immediately popped up and said, do not open this. We're blocking this. We're putting this email in this spot. You dummy, don't do this ever again kind of thing. And I was like, oh my gosh, thank you. And so then, you know, I'm very cautious of that. And another thing too, is I found with those type of emails, watch the language, how they say things. They're poor English. Like I get stuff from Microsoft all the time saying that my account is now expired. But the English is so awful. And I'm just like, oh, very cool. Someone's trying to put some sort of garbage on my computer. So just be very cautious of that. Again, with links, attachments, those kind of things, just watch for that. If your email has an ability to block senders or report spam, do it. Get all that stuff. So it's just going straight to spam. I think that's a great thing there. Anything else every day, Joe? I mean, that's kind of, like I said, a rabbit hole, and there's probably more that we could share in that regard, but those are just some of the things that we need to be cautious or wanted to share with you on that.
Hey, Darren.
Question. Yes.
Before we move on to the next question, I just wanted to kind of circle back with the whole idea of people sharing, emailing personal information. You know, a lot of times I get, you know, requests from my clients like, well, I don't have another way to securely send you what I need to send you. And so, you know, there's some tools out there that I think are good tools to use for just the everyday person that are somewhat encrypted. And so I really like to, you know, point them towards, you know, kind of like the Google Drive or I forget the other ones, but some of those tools that use Dropbox. The cloud. Yeah, Dropbox. That's the one I was trying to think of. Thank you. OneNote, whatever it is. But those tools that are encrypted in the cloud, and just share it. Just share it through Google Drive. Pretty much everybody has a Google Drive account, and that's an easy way to be able to share, you know, whether it's tax returns, anything like that, that has your personal information, bank statements. Good way to share those is just through Google Drive if you don't have another means to do that.
That's a good point. And there's plenty of software out there, storage places out there. Many of them are free. And I would just recommend that as you look at those things, just look, check their security protocols, check to see, make sure that they're going to function for you. Because, you know, I've talked to some IT people and I've asked the question, is our information truly, really 100% secure? And they always just kind of laugh and say, I mean, yes and no. If somebody really wanted it, they'll get it. They made the point that doesn't mean you just say, well, then I don't care. We see the stories of big places having security breaches and stuff, but just the reason it happens is it's the fault of a human not doing what they're supposed to be doing. So just keep that in mind. So. No, that's a great follow-up question. All right, Everyday Joe, what do we got?
All right now, that's all the questions we got so far. I just want to thank Darren and Danielle for answering those questions. In America, if you want your questions answered, send them to me, everydayjoe@ascent101.com. Thanks.
Yes, perfect. Well, thank you, sir. Appreciate it. This is going to be kind of a fun little thing we're going to be doing going forward is Q&A with Everyday Joe. If you want those questions answered, you've got things that you want to know about as an entrepreneur, what's keeping you up at night, what struggles that you're having. In all likeliness, guess what? Others are having that same question, same struggle. Let's get those answered. And I'm not saying we have all the answers, all 100%, but we're going to get them out there to you, and we're going to get you the information, and we're going to help you move forward in the right direction. So Everyday Joe, thank you so much. Appreciate it. And like I said, we'll have that email in the podcast show notes for this episode. Danielle, any last parting words before we end this great Q&A with Everyday Joe, our first one, in fact. How about that?
Yeah, our first one. Yeah, I just appreciate Everyday Joe coming on and being a part of our podcast.
Well, I'm excited to be here too. So,
well, good. We like that. We hope that it ends up being a fun little segment for everyone. Kind of help Darren and I and break up the kind of our tone and bring some fun to the podcast for our viewers. So grateful to be here and look forward to all the questions that are going to be coming in.
Yes. Yes. Thank you. So everyone, thanks again for joining us for this episode of our podcast. As we always say, you can find out more about us by checking out our website, ascent101.com. And that's ACENT101.com. And of course, be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram, like our page, follow us. We got all sorts of great stuff. In fact, if you haven't already seen it, there is a live video training up there right now, walking you through how to just get your business started, how to get the plan put together to get your business off and running. And that's going to be up for the next couple weeks here. And so make sure you check it out. It's live. It's free. It's all there for you. So much information we share. And make sure you check that out because we are here to help you. So go check out that live training that's up there. We did it all last week and we're excited to have it up there. So make sure you check it out. And like we said, we've got Everyday Joe here. So if you have any questions for us, submit your questions to him and we will have them on this podcast. Or if you want other things that topics covered, professionals on, whatever, submit them to that email and we will take care of it. And we will get it covered for you. So make sure you do that. Now, and leave us a review. We'd love to have a review, of course. Give us a review. Tell us how we're doing. We'd love that. So until next time, everyone, we want to wish you all the success possible in your entrepreneurial journey.